If you would turn with me to Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Continue where we were last week. We begin to talk about the power of covenant. If you want to follow me in the book, it's chapter 6. I'm on page 49. We begin to talk about the process of decline. I was getting to the process of decline. It's important that we understand this so that we can see the current state of the church. Once again, you'll see, even though they're well-intentioned, you see how denominations have caused us to get into this state, into this world system, to where we're almost ineffective because everybody has a separate agenda. And a lot of times denominations are built on wanting to keep control and not keep moving God. If you notice, every denomination that exists, they have a set of belief systems that makes them different from somebody else, makes them different from another denomination, makes them different from another organization. Instead of having a constant movement with God, wherever direction God goes in, we ought to be able to shift with Him. Denominations find it hard to shift. Why? Because their whole objective is to maintain control, all right? And so when that happens, when we lose sight of God's agenda and we lose sight of what He wants, we are now no longer able to access His power or His ability. All right. Every time you see the children of Israel in the Old Testament, every time they decided to change the direction that God went in, they also lost His power. Every time you see it happening, one of the main times you can see it happening is when they begin to cry for a king. Then a process of decline took place. Even though there was King David, who wrote the book of Psalms, who we all read about, we study his exploits, but it still came to a point to where it was a slow process of decline. And so without covenant, without us coming into covenant with each other, not just with God, but with each other, and being able to recognize the different graces that we walk in, then we won't be able to change the world for God. We won't be able to change the world for Christ, because the only way the world is going to be changed or affected is by the power of God. And the only way we can access the power of God is if we access it on His terms. Is this making sense? And so we'll read here in Isaiah 59 of what happens to a society when their agenda is not based on God's agenda. All right. Number one, we see that we are separated from God because of our sins. Look in verse 2. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. He will not hear. So now now watch this. When we're talking about sin, when he's talking about sin, the prophet Isaiah is not talking about the breaking of the Ten Commandments. It's talking about separation from God. That's what sin really is. Sin really is separation from God. There are certain acts that will separate you from God. But then just like there are certain behavioral acts that will separate you from God, there are certain instructions that you don't follow that will separate you from God. I'll give you a great example. How many times have our parents given us instructions as kids or whatever, and we did something else? And we were separated from their good graces. Right? Right? And the reason why we were separated, because it showed a level of irresponsibility. So therefore, I can't give you what I want you to have because you're going to do this with it. Do you see this? So when it's talking about sin, it's not necessarily talking about the breaking of the Ten Commandments. It's also talking about the walking away from God's agenda. Your sins, he said, their sins have separated them. So their sins have hid his face from us, and therefore he won't hear us. All right. This is all in the process of Christ. This is what has happened in denominations. So this is why preachers can do any and everything and stay in the pulpit. This is why we have gay bishops. I'm serious. This is why, because we do not have an agenda. There are people that don't want to walk by the agenda of God, so they make up the rules as they go. See, watch this. Perfection can't come from imperfection. Perfection can only come from perfection. Once something is flawed, it needs help to be perfect. That's us. So if we're imperfect to start off with, how can we make up rules and regulations about God when we're imperfect? So that's why we need the blood of Jesus, and we need God's power and voice to make us perfect. That's why we are the righteousness of God through. Are you seeing this? So what happens is we have leadership when they're not apostolic. We have leadership making up the rules as they go. So really, to be honest, you can take the Bible and you can make the Bible say whatever it want to say. They can actually make a case for gay bishops using the Bible. But that's when you need apostolic order in place so that somebody can rightly come and divide the word of God so that understanding can take place and ignorance can be refuted. Are you seeing this? Number two. We are no longer available to God as sin has taken us out. We see God withdraw his presence and his power from us. See, God said his word would not return to him void. Whatever he says, whatever the words he sent out, that's what's going to have the power behind it. It's not what we say. It's what he say. If we say what he say, then we have access to the power. Is this making sense? So therefore, when we start making up rules as we go and then wanting God to back it up, that's not how it works. Because God's power is very, watch this. One thing we must realize about God, God is a just God. He's very just. He's about justice. He's about righteousness. He's not about making you feel good. God is about making you righteous. Sometimes being righteous does not always make us feel good. See, our feelings that's why we shouldn't walk by how we feel. We have to walk by faith. Are you seeing this? So God is a just God. So when God begins to speak, every time God opens his mouth, it's to make the best possible situation for everyone. He's not trying to pick favorites. Everybody has the same opportunity. It's man that picks favorites. It's man that tries to set the system up so that one could be preferred over the other. That's not so with God. Are you seeing this? So watch this. We see that we can't hear God. We can't see God because we decided to separate. One of the things that Adam and Eve did when they ate off the tree was Here's the question. I think y'all understand what I'm trying to say even clearer. If eating the fruit was sin, right, then all of us could possibly be sinning. Because for those who eat fruit. Some people don't eat fruit, but for those that eat fruit, because we really don't know what fruit it was. So watch this. Is it the fact of eating the fruit, or was it the fact that God said don't eat the fruit? He said it. He said it. So when they decide to walk, listen a minute, when they decided to walk away from his agenda, that is sin. Now the scripture comes to mind, he that know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin or separation from God. Are you seeing this? So the purpose of the apostolic, the purpose of divine order is to bring us back in alignment with God's agenda so that God's agenda can be accomplished in the earth realm. See, once again, remember we talked about covenant. We talked about covenant the last couple of weeks. Remember, God's self-imposed limitation is he cannot do anything in the earth realm unless he has a body. Right? So if the body gets out of line, he can't do nothing in the earth realm. So if he can't do nothing in the earth realm, his power can't be released in the earth realm. His wisdom cannot be released in the earth realm. His presence cannot be released in the earth realm because there's no body. Then sin begins to creep in and take over. Are you seeing this? We become corrupt eternally and decline in our spiritual state. Go to verse 12. I want you to see this because it's important. Because I want you to see the current state of the church. So this is why the church has become more of an hospital rather than a building center. So watch this. If you really listen to today's, listen a minute now, this is powerful. If you really listen at today's 21st century pastor, they would even say the church is a hospital. The church is not a hospital. A church is a place where people are built up. A hospital just gets you to a point to where you can go, you can get out. But the church would not just get you to a point to where you can function on your own, but it would teach you and put you in a powerful position to where not only you can help yourself, but you can begin to help others. How many hospitals you know you went to and when you came out, you was a doctor? So the church is not a hospital. The church is a place where people are built. People are built spiritually. People are trained to become who Christ has ordained them to be. Hope you're seeing this. Verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know them. Verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord. Uh-oh. And departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. See, this is what's happening in the body of Christ. Without apostolic divine order, we have leaders stepping in the pulpit saying, God told me to do this. And God didn't tell them to say that or didn't tell them to do this. So now, because there's no apostolic order is starting to grow again, you're able to, I'll give you a prime example. Apostle Thompson, the Lord gave him the words, money cometh, years ago. I think it was 94. Gave him the words, money cometh, prophetically. And throughout the years, God has been showing him revelation on money cometh. Not only revelation, but watch this, how to protect that prophetic word. He was in Miami maybe about 2 or 3 years after he got Money Cometh. So it's about 97, 98. And somebody had wrote a song about Money Cometh. The Spirit of the Lord told him in the hotel room not to endorse any song, not to endorse any bumper stickers, not to endorse any paraphernalia, anything with Money Cometh on it. Because when you do something like that, people lose respect for it. All right. That's why you don't see no Money Cometh t-shirts. If you do, tell me, because I'm going to take care of it. That's why you don't see people with bumper stickers saying money coming. That's why you don't see people who write songs with money coming that Dr. Thompson endorses. He don't endorse no song with money coming. Matter of fact, so we had to do it legally. We had to trademark money coming. Watch this. This is why we had to trademark it. We had to trademark it because of the world system taking it. We had to trademark it because of the church. Because people were getting in the pulpit saying money coming, doing green handkerchiefs on TV. Yeah. Someone wanted to use somebody. He said, the Lord told him money cometh. I wrote him a letter. No, he didn't. He wrote in the book, the Lord revealed to him money coming. No, he didn't. Even had a man that went to a church trying to preach on money cometh and trying to rape the people. Apostle Thompson spoke to him about it. He got it. The next night he went up. I'm telling you something about apostolic order. This is what apostolic order would do. This is what apostolic. Remember, we're talking about the process of decline. We just got through reading the scripture where people are lying about what this is what God. No. We're not doing this. All right. Apostle Thompson spoke to him. The next night he got up on that pulpit and said, I know this, but I got to do this. Immediately after he did that, less than 6 months later, he was exposed as a false prophet. It came out that he was prophesying the exact same thing that a witch was prophesying. And you hadn't seen him since. See, what happens is when you come up against apostolic order, you better make sure you have your house clean. Because if you come up against apostolic order without having your house clean, you're going to get run over. You're going to get stopped because you cannot stop the agenda of God. See, this is why the apostolic has to take place in this country, because we have too many leaders that are saying, thus said the Lord, and the Lord ain't said nothing. This is why we're in the process of decline. This is why the church is ineffective in the United States. This is why we seem like we can't get moved forward with the church, because we have too many leaders in the body of Christ saying, thus said the Lord, and God ain't saying nothing. Our blessings, provisions, and protections are cut off. This is what happens when we're not in covenant, when we don't have apostolic order in place, when we all are not attached to God's agenda. I'm going to read this again. The author did a good job. Our blessings, provisions, and protections are cut off. Go to verse 9. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Look at verse 10. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Verse 11. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. Are you seeing what happens? So now what happens is, because the church, listen, in the Old Testament, government, the world government, was coming to the church. Let's be real. It started off with Joseph. Pharaoh came to Joseph. There was the baker or the butler? Which one got killed? The butler? It was the butler. I can't remember. One of them interpreted the dream. Whichever one got killed, the other one went to talk to, got restored. Because one was supposed to get executed. The other one was going to be restored. Whichever one got restored went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream. We know this. Pharaoh had a dream, and he needed to be interpreted. Baker, wasn't it? So it needed to be interpreted. The baker remembered Joseph, right? So the baker told him, hey, Pharaoh, look, I know somebody that can do this for you. No, the baker was killed. That's right. The baker was killed. That's right. So it was the butler. The butler went, said, hey, I got somebody that can interpret this dream. So Pharaoh had to come to Joseph. And the wisdom of God was with Joseph. And because of Joseph, a whole nation was restored, was preserved. That was the world system. They didn't have no idea. That was the world system coming to Joseph, coming to the church. Again, Belshazzar with Daniel. He had to come to Daniel. Are y'all seeing this? Matter of fact, God was so adamant about the world system coming to the church. And then watch this. With Samuel. Samuel had anointed Saul to be king. Let me tell you a quick story. God had anointed Samuel to be king. God had chosen Samuel to be his prophet for the land. Samuel's the one going around anointing kings. He anointed Saul to be king, right? So he anointed Saul. Saul had to go somewhere, had to go off to battle. And when he got to a certain place, he was supposed to wait on Saul before he offered burnt offerings, because it was the priest's job to make burnt offerings to God. Saul got there and got nervous because Samuel didn't show up when he wanted him to show up. So he didn't wait on Samuel to make these burnt offerings. He did it on his own. When Samuel got there, Samuel said, "Who do you think you are? Making these burnt. This is not your platform. This ain't your grace. This ain't what you was anointed to do. This is what I'm anointed to do." At that moment, God had rejected Saul. Because Saul didn't let Samuel do what God had called him to do. Saul was trying to play his part and dominate the church. Are y'all seeing this? In the Old Testament, the people were going to the church. That ain't happening now. The church is going to the government. The church is running up to the presidents, trying to see if we can get some money. That's the process of decline. So this is why sin is creeping into the church, because she has no power, because there's no apostolic order. Is this making sense? So this is why blessings are cut off. This is why, listen, let me tell you something. God has used, specifically, I can speak for this particular house, because I've been here, because I'm an accountant, I've seen the financial books. I take care of the financial books. I've seen this ministry grow, period. Doesn't matter the economy. Doesn't matter the economy. So watch this. If the church consistently grew, that means the people that were connected to it were growing. All right, let's make sense of this. The church, we all know that the church goes off of tithes and offerings, right? So if the church is growing, that means the people. I'm not talking about people as in number. Because to be honest, ever since the apostles started going into an apostolic direction, it's actually shrunk in numbers. But the people who are there are growing. Are y'all seeing this? So my point for saying this is, when you are attached to an agenda from God, your blessings are not cut off, you're not under constant judgment, and you can see God when he's moving. You're not cut off from these things. See, the reason why most churches are cut off from this is because they have no apostolic order. They're not a divine order, and therefore God can't really speak to them. Listen to me. Let me tell you something about somebody apostolic order. Let me tell you this. As apostles begin to hit and begin to function in their proper office, y'all can expect it. The first thing going to happen is judgment in the church. You could expect stuff that was covered up to be uncovered. Why? Watch how this makes sense. God cannot endorse how we've been currently doing church. If God let us do everything that we want to do in the church with his power, that means he's endorsing our behavior. He's endorsing the behavior of leadership. But that ain't how it's happening. That's why you have churches now with no power. They go through the motion, but deliverance is not taking place. People go with problems, leave out with more problems. Are you seeing this? That's why when you come to, when you have an apostolic house where you have a man or woman of God that holds people accountable, you need to be thankful. Because in that particular atmosphere, that's where the Spirit of God is. Because the Bible says where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Are you seeing this? So you can, some of us have come out of situations where church, we came out of church crazy. Just church, and people just crazy in the church. Just every Sunday something going on, some foolishness. You know the pastor ain't doing right. The first lady ain't doing right. It's just this craziness. Are you seeing this? So how can, listen, I know we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I understand all that. But there should be an element, or there should be a difference in leadership than laity. There should be a difference in life. It should be. You should, ministers should be held to a higher standard. They should be held to, ministers should be held to a higher standard. If you're supposed to be the mouthpiece of God, I expect you to behave in a certain way. If you're going to be the mouthpiece of God, I expect you to carry yourself in a certain way. There's certain things you just shouldn't do. Are you getting this? There's certain things that when people see, I make it a point that I abstain from all appearances of evil. And what happens is, when you do that, be prepared that people are going to say you're judging them. Listen, you know the difference between judgment and, they haven't told you the difference between judgment and accountability? Judgment is when I hand down a sentence on you about your future. Accountability is when I tell you you don't want to be judged. In other words, I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you right now so that you don't walk into judgment. Because the only person that can judge is God. See, and then some people like to throw at you, you know, don't judge me. You know, don't judge me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm just letting you know I ain't putting up with your foolishness. I'm just letting you know that you're not going to walk in sin and be right next to me. I'm just letting you know that if you do want to be next to me and walk in sin, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something. I'm going to say, hey, you wrong. The Bible says this. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you this is what the Bible says. Now, you get mad if you want, but this, according to the Bible, this is sin. See, this is why sin creeps into the church, because once again, we get away from God's agenda. We get away from His word. We get away from His word, His agenda. Then therefore, once again, blessings are cut off. You can't see God when He's moving. And so now when you can't see something, when you're in the dark, how many of you have been in a dark room looking for a light switch? When you're in the dark looking for a light switch, you got to make it up. You don't know where you're going. So you got to make it up as you go. You got to reach out and say, maybe it's over here. Maybe it's over here. Maybe we're supposed to do this. See, the church is, when the church is in darkness, maybe we should do this. Maybe we institute this program. Maybe if we do this, the church might grow. Maybe if we start doing this, maybe we stop saying this. Maybe we stop preaching against this, the church may grow. Maybe we allow this. Maybe we're not walking in love more enough. Maybe we should tweak what God says a little bit so that those who can feel comfortable in the church and not change. Are you seeing it? So when you're in the dark, you start making it up as you go. Watch this. Others around us are plunged into destruction. If the Bible says, I think it's Matthew 17, that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. So if the gates of hell begin to prevail against the church, that's it. Nobody else ain't got no hope. So the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. The church has to be the place where the gates of hell cannot go any further. So if we, who we are the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. So if our light gets dim, if we lose our flavor, salt is supposed to change how a dish tastes. That's not how the church operating. The church ain't changing the taste of nothing. Sometimes, you ever pour too much salt in something? Sometimes the church need to be too much salt. To where it makes people, this ain't comfortable, this don't taste good, this don't feel right. But because we don't want to offend, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Watch what he didn't say. He didn't say, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and everybody's going to like it. All he wants you to do is say what he's saying. Do what he do. He said, the works that I do, shall you do. Even what? Jesus also gave us a warning. He said, they're going to hate you because you're with me. Now, why does hate come up? Because you begin to hold people accountable. The church is supposed to hold people accountable. Jesus said this. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what did he say? Help me find the scripture because I want y'all to see something. Help me find that scripture. Let's see. That's it. John 12:32. All right. Go to John 12:32. I want you to see something. Jesus is talking because it's in red, right? So we know it's him. Got to be super spiritual. He said, verse 32, and I, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. All right, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So he's saying if who he is, if what he says and what he represents is lifted up, he said he is going to draw all men unto him. He didn't say we were. He didn't say our mouthpiece. He didn't say it was going to be based on our efforts. Our efforts should be on lifting him. What that means, that not just with our mouthpiece, because I hear a lot of people talking, but me personally, I don't watch what people say. Nobody tell me what they can do and what they can accomplish. I ain't listening to all that. I'll listen and hear what you're saying, but trust me, I'm going to watch. I want to see what you're saying. I just don't want to hear what you're saying. I want to see what you're saying. That's how the world is. That's why the world, when we try to invite them to church and they tell us there's more trouble in the church. I mean, if I wanted all this, I never forget. Apostle told me when he first got born again, he said, he got born again. You know how you get born again. You're on fire for God and you love God and you know, you're just going after it. And he got in the car with two deacons. Two deacons asked him, boy, you got a girlfriend? Now, he's just fresh out the streets. So he's saying, this ain't God because I was like that in the streets. And I know when I got born again, I got changed. So this is some foolishness. But nowadays, it's so prevalent in the church that is commonplace. It's so commonplace that people ain't even talking about it no more. It's not even mentioned. If they see it, they turn a blind eye to it. So sin creeps into the church because there should be a difference. When somebody comes to church, it should not just be, it should be a presence that causes conviction. Now, after the presence causes conviction, it's their choice what they do after that. But because they get convicted, watch this in the net, because they get convicted and leave and don't want to change, we shouldn't change. We shouldn't compromise. So because we're not sticking to God's agenda, here's another very key thing, listen to me very clearly. And because the church has not understood prosperity, hadn't understood the importance of the seed, the church has to come up with all sorts of things to raise money. So now here's where you have Men's Day, Women's Day, Choir's Day, all these days to raise offerings. Why? Because we have to, the church has to figure, because they've gotten away from God's agenda, we now have to figure a way to raise revenues, which causes us to get even further away from God's agenda. Go to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. This is why apostolic order is so important. And this is why it's important that you come in covenant with apostolic order. So very specifically, an apostle or an apostolic pastor, somebody who is being held accountable, somebody who's being aligned with divine order, somebody who actually has the ear of God. 1 Corinthians 9th chapter. Paul was very simple. Paul was very simple in what he said in 9th chapter and 11th verse. There's some assumptions that have to be made when we read this scripture. The first assumption that has to be made is that Paul is causing people to be successful. That's the first assumption, which is true. Because you can see Paul talking to the Corinthians again in the second Corinthians, the second letter of Paul wrote to him in the 8th, 9th, and 10th chapter, he talked about money. And he talked about them giving, right? So you see here in this 11th verse, Paul made it very simple. He said, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So Paul is really talking noise right here. Paul is talking noise. Paul said, I know what I'm teaching you and telling you is causing you to go out into the world system and be successful. And now you're better off financially than you were before we started communicating. Right? So why is it a problem for me to reap of your carnal if what I'm telling you is going to cause you to be successful? All right? Now, what most preachers don't do is take the opposite. Apostle always told me, take the opposite. What Paul was also saying, if I am not teaches you anything that causes you to go into this world system and be successful, then I have no right. So if you have, so pastors, especially apostolic pastors, has to teach about the seed, has to teach about prosperity, has to teach about God's financial plan for the believer. Because when you do that, now you have people that are in covenant that is working the process. So therefore, the blessings of the Lord would not be cut off because we don't have to leave God's agenda to raise no money. Is this making sense? So this is why it's cut off, because the leaders, go to Habakkuk. Leaders are getting away from God's agenda because they're trying to meet immediate needs. Habakkuk 2. Covenant is important. Habakkuk 2, we're going to read verse 1. He said, watch this. He's talking to Habakkuk. He said, what did he say? Watch. Verse 1, read it for me. And will watch to see what he was saying to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me, verse 2, come and read it with me. And the Lord answered me and said, what? Write the vision, make it plain upon table, that he may run that readeth it. Go to verse, the next verse. Tarry, wait for it. Now, we, watch this, 21st century church has taken this particular passage and made it an individualistic passage, made it for the individual person. But this is an apostolic verse. God was talking to Habakkuk and telling Habakkuk, you're going to write this down so that everybody reads it will know where they're supposed to be going. So therefore, once again, it was Habakkuk writing down the agenda of God so that everyone that is attached to it will know which direction we're going in. So therefore, anything that happens outside the agenda, we know it's not us. We know it's not for us. So therefore, blessings don't have to be cut off. Provisions don't have to be cut off. And wisdom and judgment and all that other stuff don't have to be cut off. We can see the face of God. Are y'all seeing this? Go to Habakkuk, the fourth chapter. I'm sorry, not Habakkuk, the fourth chapter. I meant Hosea, the fourth chapter. Go to Hosea. Is Hosea prophesying to the children of Israel? In the fourth chapter, in the sixth verse, it says, my people, we know the scripture, my people are destroyed for what? Now the question is, lack of knowledge of what? Watch this now. We, once again, 21st century church has taken the scripture and think it's meaning dissertation of the word of God, breaking down the word of God. If I don't know how the blood of Jesus works, that's not what this is talking about. It's saying, watch this. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge of my agenda. Why? Why they have lack of knowledge? Look, keep reading. You see? Because thou has rejected knowledge, meaning the priests. The prophets of the land have rejected knowledge. Then God said, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. This ain't talking about knowing John 3:16. This ain't talking about do you know the Ten Commandments? That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because the priests rejected knowledge. So that means whatever the priest is supposed to know, the people are supposed to know. So this is not just us going and reading the Bible and getting information. This is something that is spoken directly from the mouth of God to his man or woman of God that's supposed to be revealed to us. And because they're not revealing it to us, we're in lack of knowledge and we're being destroyed. Because there's no apostolic order. People in the pulpit saying, thus said the Lord, and Lord, the Lord ain't said that. Oh, you understand the process of decline? You understand why the church is in the state that it's in? I hate to be so doomy and gloomy, but you need to understand. No, let me rephrase what I'm saying. You need to be appreciative if you're in a place where divine order is. Because there's a certain amount, there's a certain protection that is there that even if you just in the house, you ain't really got to be all that connected. Just be in the house and you're protected. Are you seeing this? So the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priest rejected knowledge. They rejected what God has said. Other words, they've gotten away from his agenda. They're no longer focused on what he wants. They're focused on what they want. And they're using his name to back them up. So this is why you can't, this is why you can't readily come into covenant with anybody. You can't readily come into covenant with any pastor. You can't say you're going to be committed until you've seen results. I advise you, you look for results. If a man or woman of God, listen to me, internet, if a man and woman of God ain't got no results, don't connect. Because God is not going to use somebody who's not listening to him. And if a man or woman of God is listening to him, I'm not saying they're not called. I'm not saying they're not called. There's a difference between called and actually walking in the calling. There's a difference between being called and walking in the calling. There are a lot of preachers that are called but ain't walking in the calling. I don't want my pastor to be called. I want him or her to be walking in the calling. Because when they walk in the calling, that means I can walk in my calling. So the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priests rejected knowledge. So if the priest is not apostolically aligned, when I say priest, fivefold ministry, you know, the apostle, pastor, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. If they're not apostolically aligned, then they're going to be putting out misinformation. They're going to be putting out information that causes people to, this is where the hyper grace message comes from. This is where every erroneous message that comes into the body of Christ, it comes because of the lack of divine order, of apostolic oversight. Because if there's nobody, see, I don't want to know, watch this, I don't want to know how anointed you are. I don't want to know that. You tell me who you connected to and let me judge how anointed you are. Tell me who can walk into your life and tell you stop this foolishness. Let me look at them, then I won't see who, then we can decide how anointed you are. Because watch this, the anointing with no direction is fruitless. You could be as burden removing and yoke destroying as you want to be. But if you ain't got no directions, you could possibly be messing with the wrong birds and the wrong yokes that you ain't graced to deal with. I've seen it happen. So this is why, once again, this is why we have to, and I'm closing, this is why we have to walk in a culture of honor and have respect for each other's graces, because we are the body of Christ. All the members are functioning to work together for one agenda. It's not one is better than the other. You can't say, the foot can't say to the heart, I don't need you, or the vice versa. The heart might be the one pumping the blood, It might seem like it's the most important one, right? But where you going without no legs? And oh, I can get around. Well, you're going to be very limited. You ain't going nowhere. Are y'all seeing this? So this is why a covenant is so important, and we have to understand the process of decline so that we can see why the church is in the state that it's in. So next week when I come, we're going to talk about how we're going to get out of this process of decline. When the Bible, you're going to see in the book, in this particular book, he's going to begin to talk about what happens when we get what it's going to take for us to get out of this process of decline. It's going to take covenant. It's going to take apostolic order. It's going to take divine order. It's going to take some stick-to-itness. It's going to take some, I'm going all the way with God, no matter who else don't go. Are y'all seeing this? I'll see y'all next week.